Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. The United States Senate is again debating competing immigration plans. There is less than a month remaining before the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program is set to expire. The Trump administration has indicated it will require the president's border wall and broader border security measures to be part of the solution, even as a majority of Americans say they believe the so-called dreamers here under DACA should receive legal immigration status.
It is a disquieting time for the people who are living with that uncertainty in their near future. They live in all parts of the country, including here in Milwaukee. One local dreamer is Frida. She asked us to change her name because of her concerns about what might happen if DACA ends with no resolution to her status. She shared her immigration story with Lake Effect's intern, Claudia Delgadillo.
I was born in Jalisco, Mexico. My parents brought me here when I was 2 years old. My siblings were all a little bit older than me, but we were all less than 18 years old. They brought me here when I was 2 years old. I'm currently 20 years old, and I applied for DACA when I was 18 years old.
So once you got out of high school, that's when you applied for DACA?
Yes, correct.
And how was that process? Was it, like, long, and how did you feel?
It wasn't as long as I expected it to be. It was still pretty long, and it was more costly than I expected it to be. The applications are usually around $600, as was mine. It was about $600, and I applied my senior year. It took about 6 to 7 months, and I had it done in about July is when I did it, because it was when I turned 18.
So during the whole process, how were you feeling? Was there anyone who could, like, help you, like, guide you through this process? And how did it feel having to admit your status here?
So my sister actually is a DACA recipient as well. So she did it beforehand, and then she taught me how to do it. And it was more easy for me because my sister had already done it at that point. So she was just kind of teaching me how to do it.
So once you got accepted, how did you feel? And then what did it mean for you to have that status?
Oh, it felt so amazing. Actually, when I got my acceptance right away, I invited my close family members and my close friends. And we had a bonfire, and I invited everyone because that was the first form of quote-unquote Americanship. After being in the United States my whole life, that was the first proof that I actually, you know, had some sort of, like, quote-unquote legal status. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not, like, legalization, but it's still, it gives you a sense of security in a way. So it was nice to have that lifted off my shoulders and then think, wow, I can actually go to college now. Like, that's, you know, actually a possibility.
How did you feel going to college, knowing your status compared to other people's, mm-hmm. other students?
Well, ever since I was little, I always knew that I was illegal. It was nothing that was ever hidden from me. So I guess I had always been getting ready for going to college and how difficult it would be, especially for me as an undocumented person. So college, it was difficult. It wasn't as difficult as it is for many others that don't know that they are undocumented until the day that they have to use that paperwork. And then their parents are like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're undocumented. Thankfully, I didn't have to go through that. Unfortunately, a lot of other people do have to go through that. But I did have to learn a lot of other things that were very disorienting. For example, in the state of Wisconsin, and I'm assuming most states, but, you know, these laws change from state to state. In the state of Wisconsin, you have to pay out-of-state tuition if you are undocumented. Even if you do have a DACA permit, you're not a resident. Therefore, you can't be considered a resident for tuition purposes. So my tuition automatically doubled. Thankfully, at UWM, we have a non-state residency tuition appeal form. Therefore, I did that, but I didn't know about it until a month after I was at UWM. So the whole time I was thinking, dang, I'm going to have to pay out-of-state tuition. But I was able to meet with my counselor, and then she told me, well, there's actually this thing that you can do. And it works as a scholarship, and then they just refund you for that, you know, extra thousands of dollars that you would have been paying had you been out-of-state, actually. So I thankfully did that. And then you also learn that you can't do FAFSA because it's government aid. You can't receive government aid because, again, I'm not a resident. So I didn't have government aid. And tuition has to be paid out of pocket. Because of that lack of government aid, you have to pay out of pocket. Otherwise, you can't continue on the next semester. So I have those three main things that are make it more difficult for an undocumented student to go to school rather than a resident or any other person with, like, a permit, depending on whatever it is. So those were three things that I didn't know coming into the university that I had to learn.
So with those kind of obstacles that you had to go through in college, getting into college, what motivated you? What made you keep going?
I think it's definitely, like, your family. The way I see it is that my family took the brave decision to come to this country, as thousands of other families took brave decisions, because it's not a question of, like, a better life. I think it's a question of, like, a life. Because had we stayed in Mexico, there's so much violence in Mexico. It was kind of more like a refugee thing rather than like a better life thing. Well, I guess it is a better life, but it's more kind of like just to save our lives. And the way I see it, that's why thousands of families come. And it's my way to give back to my family, to be able to go to college and do what my mother would have been able to do, you know? And I think that's a very important reason that drives many undocumented students to go to school. And I also think that I really wanted to set the example for other undocumented students. I'm personally very outspoken about my status, and I think it's really important to be outspoken because then other people that are undocumented are able to see, you know, success in some way, shape, or form. And I'm not a successful person. I mean, I don't see myself as a successful person yet, but at least I'm public about it, and students will see, you know, like, I'm on my last semester, and now I will be able to say, like, I graduated and I'm undocumented. You can too. There's ways. There's an estimated 300 undocumented students at UW-Milwaukee. Yet when interviews like this arise or media coverage arises, it seems to me that there's only me and another student that speak about it. And it's really important because I've had people that pull me out of certain situations and they're like, oh, I heard you on the radio. I saw you on the television. And you're what drew me to bring my student to school. So that's also a very big weight on me for why I do the things I do, because I want to set the example and prove that, you know, we're not all criminals or all these different stereotypes, because we're really not. And if more people saw that there were undocumented people in their communities that they just didn't know were undocumented, I think people's opinions would really change. So I guess that's something that really draws me to do what I do.
You're about to graduate. Mm-hmm. What's next for you?
That's the million-dollar question. But, of course, I want to do stuff to help families. I really want to help undocumented families because I didn't have that resource growing up. And there's so much negativity right now at this point of time. And I want to be a good example, as I've been saying. So I've been thinking of working for the city of Milwaukee, just doing different things and being able to help more families out in policy and, you know, yeah, stuff like that.
But one thing you do want to do is, like, empower the youth.
Of course. Yeah, whether that be setting the example. I think even if Latinos are going into corporate spheres, I think there's nothing wrong with that because at least we're getting representation and at least there's numbers. That's how I see it personally. I know that there's people that really oppose, you know, going corporate or doing certain things. But in my way, it's like, as long as I'm doing something and I'm being outspoken and I'm representing, it'll make more people want to do similar things. As long as there's representation and there's more of us undocumented folks and more of us Latinos representing, that's what I want.
Well, Frida, thank you for your time, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Frida was born in Mexico. She grew up in Lake Geneva and attends UW-Milwaukee. She lives in the United States legally under DACA status, which is due to expire in early March. She spoke with Lake Effect's Claudia Delgadillo.